It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and there's Jerry. So let's get started. Everybody, be quiet and listen.
Get ready to feel like you're going to poop your pants, because we're going to talk about Olestra.
Which would make you poop your pants.
Yeah, so this one starts back in the 50s. We can't talk about Olestra without mentioning the seven-country study, which was very famous in the 50s for fooling science and the world into the notion that fats are terrible, they will kill you, don't eat them. So all foods started saying, great, we're going to put out no-fat stuff and start pumping in high fructose corn syrup into our things to create flavor.
Right.
And the world is the worse for it.
Right. Yeah, I think we need to do a straight up stuff you should know episode about the seven country study, okay?
For sure. So let's stop talking about it now.
Oh, okay. So the upshot of what you just said is that by the 70s or 80s, we lived in like a fat-free, obsessed society, right?
Yeah.
And the manufacturers of food said, hey, sure, we'll give it to you. We'll do some of those amazing things that Chuck just mentioned. And we'll give you low-fat food as much as you can take. And by the mid-90s, like, the whole thing was at its peak, man. Like, you remember Healthy Choice? I think Healthy Choice is still around.
Mm-hmm.
So they came out with a line of foods, and in 1994, Healthy Choice, just the Healthy Choice line of food, made $1.3 billion in sales.
Wow.
Like, that's how much that people were like, here, take all my money. Just give me some fat-free foods because fat's going to kill me and make me fat, and I hate fat. Don't you hate fat? Yes.
Because it's the word fat, and you don't want to be that word, right?
Right. Plus, also, I think everybody was scared to death that we were all going to die of heart attacks if we ate, like, any fat whatsoever. So the solution was fat-free foods, and it was in full swing in the 90s. So by this time, I believe it was Procter & Gamble that came up with Olestra, right?
Yeah, they came up with that. That's just their trade name for polyester sucrose. Mm-hmm. And this was developed by them in the late 60s. But it took to the 1990s to really catch hold in full. And this is one of those where it's not like they didn't do product research. They did a lot of testing and research, and they learned that Olestra would make you poop your pants. And they pressed on anyway and went forward knowing this, which it was an interesting decision, to say the least.
Yeah, like, they were searching for a fat substitute for formula to feed premature infants.
Yeah, which is a sweet start.
It is a sweet start. And hopefully they realized very quickly that no infant should ever have polyester sucrose pass through its mouth.
It's probably hard to tell with babies.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not hard to tell with adults. And like you said, their product testing showed there were some real problems with Olestra when you ate it. You would get abdominal cramping. You would get flatulent. You would poop your pants, like you said. There were a lot of things that came back that were red flags and should have been to Procter & Gamble that should have told them, like, don't put this into food products and then sell them to consumers because this is going to be bad. But Procter & Gamble had spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars developing this stuff by this time. It'd been in development for like 30 years. And so they said, nope, we're going to do this. We're going to go get the FDA to approve it. And the FDA said, okay, we'll give you approval, but you have to put a warning on any food item, like the container of any food item that you sell this stuff in.
Yeah, and that label, I remember seeing it. It literally said it could cause abdominal cramping and loose stools. Mm-hmm. They were marketed for their line, for like Pringles and Frito-Lay, as wow, all uppercase, exclamation point. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that it said on the label, like, hey, this will give you diarrhea. People are like, well, I get that, but can I eat a whole bag of chips and not have any fat? Right. And the label said, sure. And I think that actually increased the diarrhea and the cramping was the fact that people probably overindulged even.
Right.
Because they could.
Yeah. And so we should probably talk real quick about the science behind this, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
So polyester sucrose mimics fat in its taste, its mouthfeel. It does everything that fat does except get metabolized by the body, right?
Yeah.
So like a triglyceride, a naturally occurring fat, is a molecule of fatty acid surrounded by three chains of hydrocarbons. And when you eat that thing, that molecule, your body metabolizes it by breaking the hydrocarbon chains off of it and using that fatty acid, either for energy or to store later to use as energy as fat, okay?
Yeah.
That's the naturally occurring stuff. So for polyester sucrose, it has a sucrose molecule, and it's surrounded by hydrocarbon chains too, but there's a lot of them. So much so that the parts of your body that normally metabolize fat can't break through all those hydrocarbon chains. And so that molecule of polyester sucrose goes through your body untouched. It comes out the other end just like it went in. So you get the mouthfeel, you get the taste. You get the experience of eating fatty foods with no fat and no weight gain whatsoever. The problem is, on the other side, when it does come out, it comes out with a lot of poop and a lot of cramping.
And there's another problem with this whole thing that we'll talk about right after this.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All right, so nice job, by the way, with the science.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Because I was not ready.
Anytime.
So they discovered with Olestra that this is great. It just comes out the body like it goes in.
These idiots will still eat it.
It doesn't metabolize. Here's the big issue with that is the body is used to metabolizing fats, but now all of a sudden your body gets confused. Because it's used to doing things one way, and all of a sudden your body's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't metabolize any fats.
Mm-hmm. Fool me once.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And so it messed with the body chemistry because it literally confused it in these artificial fats. And I think this is true a lot of times with artificial ingredients. your body doesn't know how to react to that. And so all of a sudden you're gaining weight, even though you're eating fat-free foods, because your body's not metabolizing any fat. So when you eat, you indulge on that cheesesteak, it's not getting metabolized.
No, because so like the polyester sucrose gets passed through. Your body doesn't absorb it. But your body will absorb naturally occurring fats even if they're not metabolized.
Sure.
It gets stored for fat later. So if your body's not metabolizing either of it, then all the fat that's going through is just being packed on.
Yeah.
So people who were eating this fat-free fat substitute were actually gaining weight from recent research shows.
Amazing.
Even worse than that, possibly, is that the olestra was like a magnet for vitamins and nutrients. So when it passed through your digestive system untouched, it actually was taking vitamins and nutrients that were already present with it. So you could actually develop a vitamin deficiency from eating too much olestra.
However, despite all of this,
I know this is the kicker.
In 1998, initial sales of these chips, just these those WOW chips, was about $400 million in that year. That was, I believe, the first year that Procter & Gamble debuted these chips. Everyone is pooping their pants. They're eating, I think they found in studies that the WOW Doritos, if you ate 16 of those chips, 50% of the participants, half the people that ate at least 16 chips got diarrhea.
Right.
So you would think they find this out, they make their money, and then they get out, and they're just like, all right, we're done with olestra, because I don't see olestra anymore on any packaging.
Right, yeah, it's gone the way of the dinosaur.
Is that the case, my friend?
That is absolutely not the case.
No, it's just not called olestra anymore.
Yeah, back in 2002, the FDA said, you know what, we were pretty wasted when we made you put that warning label on. We've since entered the program, and we want to make amends. So you don't have to put the warning label on any longer. You can just take that off.
Yeah, and now you don't see them as WOW because that got a bad name by association. Now you just see them as light chips or fat-free crackers and things like that.
Yeah, so they're still using polyester sucrose in certain products like Lay's light potato chips or Ruffles light or fat-free Ritz or fat-free Wheat Thins, but they just don't call it olestra or Olean or anything like that. It's still the same thing, but I think that Procter & Gamble managed to get that label taken off because they successfully argued that the results were really no worse than if you ate a lot of like high-fiber
foods. Yeah, they're like, hey, I mean, look at prune juice.
Yeah.
You got a special label on that?
Everybody loves prune juice, but there's no label.
Nobody likes prune juice.
No. What are prunes made from? Are they dates or I always get those confused. The dehydrated you know what I'm talking about.
I know, prunes.
Right, so what is a prune? Is it a fig or is a date a dehydrated version of something?
I'm just enjoying this.
All right.
I think a prune is a plum.
Okay, great, great. Well, then a date is a dehydrated fig, my friend.
And a raisin is a dehydrated grape.
That's right.
And that concludes this episode of Short Stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.